Lutheran, Hiawatha, Iowa. Reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of the prophet Isaiah. It's on page 732, and we read Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 10. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from Romans 15. It's found on page 1215. And we read Romans 15, beginning at verse 4. Whatever was written in the former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may, with one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in the believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise out of respect for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is written in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, found on page 1033. And we read Matthew 3, beginning at verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist. And his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him. And they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on the account of John the Baptist's preaching, but as found in the Gospel of Luke, not Matthew's account, as we read earlier. And I'd like to reread just a portion of that, where John the Baptist says, even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds asked him, what then shall we do? And he answered them, whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none. And whoever has food is to do likewise. Tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than you are authorized to do. Soldiers also asked him, and we, what shall we do? And he said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation, and be content with your wages. This is our text. John the Baptist was a fiery preacher. As I was reading those words from Matthew to you earlier, Could you sense perhaps a little fear in the crowds that were listening to him? His winnowing fork is in his hand. He's going to clear his threshing floor, and the chaff is going to be burned up with unquenchable fire. That's scary stuff. Or even here in Luke, even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. No wonder the crowds ask, what are we going to do? And down through the ages, as people have contemplated the judgment of God, their minds have often convinced them that they must do some great and astounding sort of thing in order to be delivered from the coming judgment of God. And through the ages, what people have dreamed up has sometimes been quite unusual. In the late 2nd and 3rd centuries, for instance, there were a bunch of monks. They were called the pole sitters. They went out into the desert and constructed, if you will, small platforms on top of poles 20, 30 feet in the air. And they'd live there. They'd bind themselves with leather straps to these poles so if they rolled over while sleeping in the middle of the night, they didn't fall down and kill themselves. How did they feed themselves, you ask? Well, they became such a surprising group of people that crowds would go out to them, and then they'd throw food up at them, and that's how they ate and how they got their water. And people thought they were extraordinarily holy. After all, they were doing something that the normal person just couldn't do. They were making great sacrifices for God. And down through the ages, that pattern has continued. Even today, there still exist monasteries where people go in and they take vows of silence. They don't talk to anybody evermore. And somehow, they think that is a holier way of life. Around Easter, sometimes you'll see news clips of people in parades around the world recreating the suffering of Christ. In certain areas of Christianity, you'll see people literally beating themselves bloody with whips, men tied to crosses, and people thinking that in so doing, they are somehow making themselves more fitting for God. And this isn't true just of Christianity. There's a fellow over in India about 20, 30 years ago who, if you will, became a holy roller. He started rolling across India. And he didn't stop until he had rolled up one of India's most holy mountains. He was a Hindu. And people thought that in what he did, he must have been incredibly holy. And so today he is still regarded as one of the holiest men in all of India. I don't think, never witnessed anybody being that crazy in this congregation. But still, we sometimes think to ourselves that because of who we are, There must be some kind of great thing we have to do to show God that we are ready for Him, that we are prepared. The crowds cried out to John the Baptist, "What are we going to do?" And it's rather fascinating what John's response was. "Well, you know, if you got two tunics, and there's somebody over there that doesn't have any, why don't you give them one? That's not hard." Tax collectors came to him wanting to be baptized. "Teacher, what will we do?" And you know, they were regarded as really bad people. "Collect no more than you're authorized to do." "Well, that's not hard. That's actually what I'm supposed to be doing." Soldiers, probably Roman soldiers, came to him. "And what shall we do?" "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation." And then, I don't know, maybe you think this one's hard. "Be content with your wages." They were looking for something extraordinary to do. But that's not what came out of John the Baptist's lips. You don't have to do something extraordinary. Just take a look at your life, where you are. Are you a husband or wife? Are you a child, a parent, a grandfather, a grandmother? Are you employed by someone? Or are you an employer? Do you have teachers? Do you have students? Whatever it is that you do, whatever it is you're supposed to be doing, just do it. There's only one problem with what John the Baptist told the people to do in order to prepare for the coming of God. When we look at our ordinary, everyday lives, we fail again and again and again. When we come here to confess our sins, it's not to confess that we haven't done something big for God. It's all the little, ordinary, everyday stuff. The things the world wouldn't condemn us for, that God wants us to pay attention to. Have you been disobedient? Have you been grumpy? Have you been rude? Have you been lazy? Have you ignored things you really should be paying attention to? It's all that little stuff that God is most concerned with. And He wants us to look at. And when we closely examine the little, ordinary areas of our life, we realize there's no way that we can make ourselves pleasing to God. And that, my friends, is the first step in truly preparing for Him. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise. Proper preparation for the receiving of Christ is recognizing how poorly we have done in the little, ordinary, everyday things of life, and going to God and saying, help me, forgive me, have mercy on me. And that's exactly what Christ came to do. He took on our frail and simple human form to live the life that we were supposed to live as a baby, as a child growing up, as a son, not just to God, his heavenly Father, but to his mother Mary, as a brother, as a carpenter, as a worker. It's in all those ordinary little everyday things that he took our place and lived the life that we were supposed to live, and then went to the cross to take the penalty that failure in all those little things deserves, experiencing death itself and pain and suffering. And when God, the Heavenly Father, turns his back on his Son Jesus, he experienced hell itself. He took it all so that hearts properly prepared might hear the joyous news that their sins are forgiven. And when Christ does come again, to stand with heads up and with no fear, to him who took our judgment upon himself and comes again, not to destroy those who have been prepared, but to take them home to be with himself. What are we going to do? That's what the crowds asked. And John the Baptist's answer was so simple and so easy. Look at your everyday life as a husband, wife, son, daughter, grandparent, employee, whatever role you have in life. Look at what you should be doing. And where you have failed, confess your sin, and you will be prepared to receive what Christ came to bring: his forgiveness and his redemption. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001. By Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.